Today's show is brought to you by Amazon through the HT Guys link. The whole world of Amazon is available at htguys.com/Amazon.
Welcome to the HD TV podcast featuring the HT Guys, Ara Derderian and Braden Russell. Now, the HD TV podcast.
To the HD TV and home theater podcast. This is July 8th. Episode 787, sorry, July 8th of 2016, of course. We didn't go back or forward in time. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. And Ara, I think we are on like total opposite ends of the country right now.
Yeah, so we've actually, through our recording, have created an X across the country. I think last year I was in Maine and you were in Southern California. So that goes from northeast to southwest. And this year, you're in Washington and I'm in Orlando, so that goes from northwest to southeast.
We're testing the limits of what can be done over the podcasting over the internet or pod recording, because we're not actually doing the casting right now, right?
Exactly. So yeah, this has been a fun trip. We flew to New Orleans and from there we drove up to Nashville, spent a few days in Nashville. And then we drove down to Atlanta because the drive from Nashville to New Orleans, I'm sorry, Nashville's to Orlando was a really long one and we wanted to break it up. But this morning I was in Atlanta and the where they filmed The Walking Dead is in a city called, I hope I pronounce it right, Senoia, S-E-N-O-I-A, I think. Anyway, we drove in and they've got all the sites. There's a lot of maps how to get to it, but where they're currently filming what's known as Alexandria to the people who watch The Walking Dead, the wall or the fence around the city is still up. So I got a bunch of pictures, walked through an area that was known as Woodbury a few seasons ago, and it was really cool. So now this year when we watch the show, we'll be saying, oh, we've been there, we've seen that. So it's pretty really awesome. Kind of cool. It's created a little bit of an economy, too. A lot of tourists are coming there. They actually give tours, and the people seem to be okay with it because it's bringing a little extra money to the area.
So did it feel smaller than it did when you watch on TV or different? Because I know like when we've gone and done Universal Studios and done the backlot tours and you see where they filmed like Back to the Future, it feels a whole lot smaller than it does when you watch in the movies.
This seemed real life because it actually is. It's not a set. So they actually are in a small little strip of part of the city. And the area where they filmed that's fenced off is actually, I thought, pretty big. So it was pretty cool. Now, people actually live in the houses. And that's the weird thing, that if you live in one of those houses, you just kind of deal with sometimes you're not allowed to go into your house.
Oh, yeah. They got it blocked off or whatever because they're filming.
Yeah.
I wonder if they get compensation for that.
I'm sure they do. I would be very surprised if they didn't. We had coffee this morning in an area where a lot of the crew has coffee and probably even a lot of the cast members. So they had autographed pictures on the wall. So I would assume they've had coffee there. And today they were filming today, so we couldn't get too terribly close, but I got some great pictures. Maybe I'll tweet some out or something. But I was thinking, like, gosh, I wish I could be a zombie on that show, just like I've been asking for Z Nation. But that would be so cool to just get something on
that
show.
Yeah, just to kind of be like an extra, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. All right, so
how's your trip? You're up in Washington. Sorry, how's your trip? We haven't seen each other in a while.
Yeah, Washington's been awesome, and the weather's been great up until today. It started raining, which I guess is normal for Washington, but I didn't think it would be normal in July. But, you know, we've been doing a lot of cool stuff, taking the boys out. We went to Mount St. Helens yesterday.
This is vacation, not business.
Yeah, this week has been vacation.
Okay.
So we kind of clubbed a few vacation days along with the 4th of July weekend to take some time off. So the whole family's up this time.
Oh, very cool. We did 4th of July in Nashville. And it was so hot and humid, and the we had an Uber driver tell us, look, you don't want to go down there. It's going to be, even if you walk, and we were within walking distance, it's going to take you like an hour to get back to your hotel. And we're talking less than a mile because there was like a 250,000 people there. And then I was walking around the hotel, and I said, you know what? At the end of this hall is a glass window and it looks right out over the river. So we ended up watching it from the air conditioning of the 11th floor of a Marriott hotel in Asheville. And a few other people got the same idea. So we're just sitting there. And at the very end, somebody came out and goes, oh, there's a whole bunch of people here. So she opened the door and turned on the TV. And we even had music to go along with the fireworks.
Nice. So you had your own private fireworks show. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll tell you this, Nashville, Braden, is an incredible city. And we went, so we did the Nashville thing. And then we drove around and there's a couple Civil War areas. I want to go back, and I think I'm going to spend a lot more time in Nashville. If you guys live nearby Nashville and haven't gone, I highly recommend it. But it was just a lot of fun. So if you're on the West Coast, make an effort to go there.
Go see Nashville. I've never been. I have never been to Nashville.
If you go there and don't like it because your family is very musical, I think you guys will really like Nashville.
Ah, cool. All right, so it's time for the show now. It's podcast time. All right,
yeah,
so
okay.
This is episode 747, and of course, if you'd like to help out the show, we would greatly appreciate it. And one of the ways you can do that is by shopping at Amazon. Go to htguys.com/Amazon, and it doesn't change anything for your experience, but it just lets them know that we sent you over there. Gives us a little bit of a kickback, I guess, on the back end for whatever you purchase, and we would greatly, greatly appreciate that. And of course, the new way to support the show is Patreon, and that's www.patreon.com/HDTV podcast. And you can sign up to give a little, give a lot, you know, recurring, however you want to do it. And we have more and more people joining every week, I would say, the Patreon effort, and we really appreciate that. So thank you very, very much.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And let's see, we have a Calf Pal this week. It's from Chad Thornhill, and he says, Dear HT guys, I discovered your podcast somewhere between Texas and Tennessee as I tried to find something that would keep me occupied for the long drive between Houston and Knoxville. Thank you for keeping me awake for hours of driving. And Chad, I was doing the same thing, but I didn't listen to my podcast. What I did listen to was a lot of country music.
Yeah, he's in your neck of the woods, I guess, huh, in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Or where you were.
Well, I'm in Orlando now.
Yeah. All right. And we have an email today's show from Wade. And he purchased a Marantz SR6010 at Geek Squad from Best Buy and had Geek Squad do all of the setup. And he said they swapped it out with the floor model since he was supposedly having an issue. Every time he powered off the AVR at night, then turned it on in the morning, the TV would come on, but no audio. Switched to the Oppo player and still no audio. Turned to Apple TV, still no audio. Called Marantz, and he said they'd never heard of such an issue. So in order to get the audio to come back on, I would have to physically unplug the power cord. Then the audio would work. I love the AVR, but unplugging every morning is getting old. Any ideas? Now, I had a similar issue with the TiVo, with my TiVo box and a Samsung TV. It was just a weirdness in the way that the HDMI kind of did its whole setup protocol communication, and I couldn't just unplug the HDMI and put it back in. I would have to physically power down the Samsung and power it back up. So it could be just an HDMI incompatibility between the Marantz and whatever it's connected to when it first starts up, or maybe the Marantz and whatever screen you have your output going to. I don't know. But Google's going to be your friend there.
Yeah, he did a reset and a firmware upgrade, and he was still having the same issue. Now, what I suggested was take a look and see if he had CEC turned on. That's the protocol that allows devices to communicate with each other over HDMI. Because I know sometimes that could have an issue, along with what Braden just said, with the HDMI. So they may not be playing well together. So try to turn that off, and then if that still doesn't work, it's probably some sort of HDMI compatibility. The issue there is who's going to point the finger at who? And do you think, Braden, it could be a high-speed cable issue, meaning he may have a slower HDMI cable?
I doubt the cable would be the issue. I think it's usually just like kind of a protocol communication mismatch, easy for me to say, between two devices. And in that case, if you can still return the Marantz and try a different unit, that's, you know, probably going to be your best bet.
All right. And if any of our listeners have an idea, please send us information and we'll pass that on to Wade. Yeah, the HDMI works great when it's working, and it does for most, like 99% of the time. Now, I mean, early on we had issues, but when it's not working, it can be very frustrating. All right, with that, we'll move over to only one email because I, quite frankly, just did not have enough time to put anything together. Wade's email came in today when I sat down, so it was easy for me to just say, oh, this is the email for the show. All right, first news story. Global shipments of LCD TVs will reach 219 million units this year, and that is a 1.5% increase for the year.
All right, and Panasonic is going decidedly upmarket with the planned September launch of its first 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray player. Features Ultra HD Premium and THX certification. It is the DMP-UB900, plays back in high-resolution audio formats, including DSD, also incorporates 4K streaming services, and a variety of proprietary audio and video processing technologies to enhance audio and video, of course, playback. It will initially be available in September at a suggested retail price of a whopping $699. You'll be able to get it only through Best Buy Magnolia locations and on Panasonic's website. It'll be rolled out to high-end AV specialists of the type that sell upscale Technics brand audio equipment, said Barry Murray, Panasonic's AV Marketing Group Director in Canada. The player also offers Wi-Fi, DLNA playback of 3D 1080p Blu-ray discs, CD and DVD playback, and mandated open HDR playback, but not the optional Dolby Vision HDR playback. Supported 4K streaming services are Netflix and YouTube, though Netflix HDR isn't currently supported. It lacks SACD and DVD audio disc playback, lacks a hard drive to support the 4K Blu-ray specs optional copy and export feature, has dual HDMI outputs, one is HDMI 2.0A and one is HDMI 1.4, the latter to deliver audio to AV receivers that don't have HDMI 2.0 inputs with HDCP 2.2 copy protection.
All right, so at almost $700, Braden, do you think it's, what would that be, about $350 better than, say, the Samsung Ultra Blu-ray player?
I mean, I can't imagine paying $700 for a Blu-ray player, regardless of how nice it is. So it's kind of out of my budget range.
It does have the high fidelity audio. So I don't know if you're an audiophile, that may be a thing worth paying for. But yeah, I think I'm still going to wait. Do you remember I was thinking about buying the Samsung, and then there was some bad press about it. So I think I'm just going to wait a little bit and see what shakes out over the next few years. Or yeah. Next year, I shouldn't say a few years. All right, let's see. Next, Comcast is making a Netflix streaming video service available to its customers through the X1 platform. Encompass says the partnership, which comes amid debates over the Federal Communication Commission's set-top box proposal, is to integrate their services this year.
And LG Electronics is installing LG Experience interactive TV displays in 400 Best Buys to demonstrate its high dynamic range, 4K ultra high dynamic, and super ultra high dynamic TV sets. Now, do you have any idea what the differences are between a 4K ultra high dynamic and a super ultra high dynamic TV is?
No, I don't. I'm sure there's a difference.
Yeah, but if you want to know, I guess you can hit one of those 400 Best Buys and check it out for yourself.
But what I do like about that is that you can go to Best Buy and at least see what the difference is, like what HDR is like. That is kind of cool because if you're not wowed by it, then at least you know I don't need to go spend the money.
Yeah, for sure.
So that I think it's a plus in that regard. But yeah, it's kind of like, doesn't Samsung also have something to... For their ultra high definition, they have like another letter in front of the ultra.
They do. They have a SUHD, right?
Yeah, that's
like
what
super
it is.
Ultra. I don't know what the S stands for, but yeah. It's, supreme.
Yes, supreme.
For everyone out there who doesn't live their life in Amazon.com or in their Amazon app or Prime Now app, coming up pretty quick here, I guess, is Prime Day. So Prime Day 2016 is, according to Amazon, the biggest Amazon event ever, with over 100,000 deals exclusively for Prime members worldwide on July 12th. So that's coming up next Tuesday, for those who hadn't heard about it yet. And if you're not a Prime member, you can sign up and you can take advantage of Prime Day with the 30-day free trial. But all right, if they're saying it's the largest Amazon event ever, that would mean it's bigger than any of their Black Friday sales. Isn't that true?
Well, it's an Amazon of, I guess Black Friday would be considered an Amazon event.
Yeah. So, I mean, you go, basically they do it just like, I think it's just like Black Friday, where they have a bunch of lightning deals that pop up. And if you're there quick enough and you claim it, you can get one. If not, you can go on the waiting list. And if someone who claimed one doesn't actually end up purchasing it, you may get it from the wait list. But you have to be sort of either get your app set up on your phone to get notifications when new things pop up, or at the website hitting refresh all the time. But there's a ton of deals, 100,000 deals. And because Amazon is West Coast, they're in Seattle. The whole world revolves around West Coast time. So Prime Day starts at midnight Pacific time on the 12th. So Pacific time here in the US.
I'm sorry, I was going to say you might find some great deals on your home theater gear. It's not going to be limited to home theater, but this is the HT guy. So there's probably going to be some great stuff that you should be able to find to help you with your home theater.
Yeah, and there's some other things that they're doing too, if you go check it out, where they have playlists that have been set up by certain bands. And if you listen to that playlist, some random person who chooses to listen to that playlist will win a trip to see that band in concert and then get backstage passes to actually meet the band or the artist. I think they've got like, I don't know what it is, 11, 12, 14 of the different playlists that you can play. So beyond just the sales stuff going on, they have other contests happening on Prime Day as well. It's something worth checking out, I guess. All right, and jumping into the main content for today's show. I recently upgraded some of the gear in my loft because my boys were demanding a 4K television. Now, honestly, there is something to be said about raising a new generation of home theater enthusiasts, especially when they can help you gang up on the finance committee. Maybe gang up is the wrong phrase there, but help you apply more influence or sway to the finance committee. They were approved for the purchase of a Vizio TV, the E70U D3, but since we've already reviewed a similar model, the P72 UIB3, a few episodes back, we're going to skip the TV review and talk about what the boys decided to buy to upgrade the sound in their loft, which was a Samsung soundbar, the HWK450.
Yeah, I like the way your boys are driving this. Very good. You're training them very well.
Absolutely.
All right. So despite the higher quoted MSRP, you can pick up the Samsung K450 for just under $200, pretty much anywhere that it's sold. And that includes Amazon or direct from Samsung. Now, Prime shipping will save you some money and get it to you a little bit faster. But unless you head out and pick one up, that's faster unless you head up and pick one up at, say, a Best Buy or something. Let's see, at $200, we knew it wasn't going to blow us away from an audio point of view, but when you're already $1,600 in on the TV, you don't want to push your luck. At least the boys didn't want to push their luck.
They didn't. They learned that lesson early. So the Samsung does have a few features that made it a better choice than similar price models from other manufacturers. And the spec sheet, if you go through it, says it has 300 watts of nominal output power for dynamic sound, a wireless subwoofer for powerful bass, does Dolby Digital decoding, and reproduces multi-channel audio to deliver what they say is a cinematic audio experience. Sleek appearance, fits most HDTVs for a streamlined look, has HDMI input and output. Built-in Bluetooth makes it easy for you to play tracks from your Bluetooth-enabled device, and supports a variety of file formats, including WAV, WMA, AAC, MP3, FLAC, OGG, so you can enjoy your favorite media however you have it stored. And of course, it's wall-mountable, and they do give you the bracket to mount it to the wall.
And now, if you're not going to mount it on the wall, the HWK450 setup is a breeze. The soundbar is small enough to sit below many TVs. We have it sitting on a table below the Vizio, and it doesn't interfere with the picture at all. Now, you plug it into power, add the cables that you need for sound from your various devices, and that's pretty much it. Then you plug the wireless subwoofer into the wall somewhere, and when they start up, they locate each other, pair automatically, and this all happened for us without any issues, and we had the soundbar in service in about 5 minutes.
Now, on the other hand, if you did want to mount the soundbar to the wall, you can use the included wall mount brackets to do that, but it doesn't include the screws or the drywall anchors that you'd need to actually secure the brackets to the wall. So you'd have to make a quick run out to your local home improvement or hardware store for those. We didn't wall mount ours, but it's pretty small and light. We wouldn't anticipate any issues hanging it above or below your wall-mounted TV. Just a couple screws, you should be all set.
And now, as far as performance goes, we know what you're thinking. You bought a Samsung for audio. Really, what are you guys thinking? Samsung isn't exactly the world renowned for audio gear and sound quality. Now, while that's true, we were pleasantly surprised by how much better it sounded than just using the TV. Audio had much more punch than we could get, and we could get much higher volumes without the audio distorting or everything just kind of blending together and, just big mush of sound. Now, for music, it wasn't a delight. It won't delight your ears, but for television and movies, it does a really solid job. Now, without the included subwoofer, it would have been pretty lackluster. The sub certainly adds the boom that you need for the feel the experience of an action movie.
Now, there were times when watching high action movies that the dialogue could get lost in the rest of the action. This happens a lot. It happens all the time, and you've probably experienced it at home, especially with lower end audio gear, not just sound bars. Delivering crisp dialogue, even among a mess of other noise and sound effects, isn't easy to do. And, you've probably experienced it. Increasing the volume doesn't typically solve the problem because it just gives you more of that noise. We didn't think the Samsung 450 is the best solution out there or even the best soundbar out there, but it does do a pretty good job and makes movie watching far better for sure than just using the TV.
All right, now Samsung talks about a feature called surround sound expansion, saying it delivers more realistic and immersive audio experience that feels like it's coming right out of your TV. We didn't get any sort of the surround sound at all. The sound coming from the front of the room was great. To say we heard anything from the side or behind us would be a stretch. Now, to solve that, Samsung's offering the optional SWA-8000S. It's a wireless surround kit for $130. It's a little wireless sound, a surround sound amp and two speakers so that you can truly have sound all around you.
And it does include Bluetooth, so you can stream audio to it from your smartphone or tablet. Like we already said, it isn't super impressive for music, but if you're starting with compressed audio and running it over Bluetooth, you're really not looking for that much. When we tested it out, we did get the occasional hiccup in the music, probably due to interference from the Bluetooth subwoofer. Could have been interference from something else in the house, though. It didn't bother us too much, but if you plan to use the soundbar for a lot of Bluetooth audio, it might actually end up being a deal breaker for you.
All right, and the one feature that pushed the HWK 450 over the top for us was the presence of HDMI, and more specifically, HDMI output and pass-through. It's odd that many soundbars on the market today don't include an HDMI input, but that's slowly changing. However, HDMI output and pass-through, especially in the $200 price range, is pretty rare. The HWK 450 will pass 3D and 1080p through to your TV, but not 4K. So we admit it's not a perfect match for a 4K television, but the HDMI pass-through makes setup and installation much simpler. Simpler than we were even expecting due to support for ARC, or otherwise known as the audio return channel.
So in our setup, we connected a cable box to the soundbar with HDMI, then ran the HDMI output from the soundbar to the TV using the pass-through. We also hooked up a few other devices, connected like an Amazon Fire TV to the soundbar. We used optical audio for that one, and then ran the HDMI out of the Fire TV directly to the TV. Now, it turns out the optical cable was completely unnecessary. The TV discovered that the soundbar supported ARC and used the established HDMI connection instead. So we could potentially even remove the HDMI cable from the soundbar input and run it straight to the TV and use audio return channel, the ARC, for all of the inputs. It would mean we'd never have to change inputs on the soundbar at all, just on the TV, and that would make setup super easy.
All right. Now, in addition to the ARC, the soundbar supports HDMI CEC, so it will turn on your TV and turn it off. It also allows you to control the volume on your TV through your TV's remote. So if you don't have a universal remote, the TV remote essentially becomes one. And that's a pretty cool surprise. We should have known, but we didn't know about it when we actually got the TV.
All right, so at $200, you really don't expect the Samsung HK450 to blow you away. But for us, we really enjoy the audio experience, especially for TV and movies. The included subwoofer is a great touch. The inclusion of HDMI is stellar. If you have more money, there's certainly better options out there. If you're on a budget, the Samsung's great. And if you're scared about what the finance committee is going to do when they find out how much you spent, the HK450 is perfect. So it just kind of like blended into the noise of everything else in the purchase that we had to get. You know, you couldn't even tell that the soundbar was in there. So, you know, we were able to camouflage it in and amongst much, much larger purchases. So it ended up being perfect for the boys, right? For the boys, because they were the ones
exactly.
that demanded we have this.
Yeah. You know, I'm finding these soundbars to be fantastic solutions for anyone who just wants better speakers than what came into the TV. Because this, as the TVs got thinner, the speakers had to suffer. Now, here's an interesting thing, though, Braden. I have an iPad Pro, and the audio coming out of that is really good. I mean, it's surprisingly good for a tablet. I'm surprised that, and you know, the iPad's super thin. When you look at a TV, I don't know why they couldn't put that type of technology into a TV and get you better audio out of that. Maybe it would add cost, and that's probably the thing, because the televisions are such cutthroat on the prices that putting in a technology that may add $50 to a TV is something that they just don't want to do. It'll, you know, because they figure if you really want good audio quality, you'll either use the AVR or get a soundbar. Maybe that's the reason why they specifically are not putting in any money into the speakers on a TV.
That, and I mean, there's probably a difference in the experience of the kind of lean forward with the iPad versus the lean back of the TV, where the TV has to hit volume levels probably above what your iPad would normally hit. There's probably a little bit more of a sweet spot for TV audio versus iPad audio.
I agree. But, you know, the TV is a bigger form factor. So whatever technology they put into the iPad, I would assume they could put a bigger version of that in a TV to get you that louder volume. But I think what I'm thinking about it is almost every TV manufacturer sells a soundbar, Vizio, Samsung, or whoever, and that just gives them another opportunity to make money on it, I guess.
That's probably true. Yeah. Well, I mean, Apple sells the Beats headphones, right? So
yes.
They should be putting really crappy audio into the iPad and telling you just buy good Beats headphones and you'll be all set.
You know, next time we're in person, I should play it for you, because I'm actually quite impressed with how good the audio is. Now, I'm not saying it's audiophile quality, but compared to any other tablet or phone that I've used, the audio is quite impressive.
Cool. All right, so that's all we have for you for today. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Don't forget, if you're not a Prime member, go sign up for Prime, even if you just do the 30-day thing, and check out Prime Day next week on Tuesday. And of course, if you can get there via htguys.com/Amazon, we would greatly appreciate it, because all your Prime Day purchases give us a little bit of a high five at the same time. So thank you very much for doing that if you can, and go watch some HDTV.
And we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the HDTV and Home Theater Podcast with Ara Derderian and Braden Russell. If you're not already a subscriber, find the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast aggregator. In social media, look them up on Facebook and on Twitter at HDTV Podcast. To contact Ara or Braden for questions and feedback, email htguys@htguys.com, and they're on the web at htguys.com. Again, be sure to subscribe, and thanks for listening to the HDTV and Home Theater Podcast.